One man who doesn't have any issues with social media at all is David Teague. In fact, Teague, I'm not even sure you have any social media. Give us an insight into what your online presence is these days. Welcome to the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's very minimal other than today. Carlton gave me control of their account, and I'm going to be honest, all influence out there are pretty safe. I'm definitely not going to take over. Getting your phone out all day to film, I don't know, I felt a bit weird.
Gee, finally we've got someone making some sense. Thank you, Teague. They're trying to get me involved in Instagram, and I just don't see what all the attraction is about. So what did you send out today?
Day at home, so most of the stuff was at home. We did venture to get some petrol and pump the tyres up of the kids' bike at the local BP, but other than that, we made some pancakes. I had a few meetings from home, which is it's a real challenge with three kids at home to find a quiet place to have a meeting over your computer, which even that alone is quite challenging, as is this to a blank screen is quite weird.
has to be a female presence in your kids, because I can see a lot of pink behind you, mate.
Pink, that's probably the yoga mat, I think. I'm not sure. No, there's a bucket. No, I've got two beautiful girls and obviously a lovely wife. And no, we had a good day today. We played a bit of basketball. There's some painting going on. There was a volcano. My son had his seventh birthday the other day, so he's got a few presents, so that's been handy. So we've just been going through them, but I'm very lucky that my wife is good at creating fun activities for them.
Hey, Teague, we were talking about Jack Russell before and just how much of a fitness freak he was, and head of fitness, head of punishment, as Jason said. How would he be going at this time when we're homebound?
Oh, well, he's been very busy, obviously, trying to put programs together for all the boys. I know his lawn, it's already immaculate, but he'll make sure he keeps that in top shape. But he's been very busy putting the programs. Obviously, we individualise them for most of the boys, and he's still been able to one-on-one treat a few of our players that are coming back from injury as well. So he's been quite busy. He's been in a lot of the meetings. He's on the skeleton crew, so he's in quite a few meetings at the moment via the computer.
He'd be doing circuits all day, every day.
He'd be cutting his grass with scissors.
We need to get him on, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Maybe tomorrow night, the next night. We need to get him on.
Hey, Teague, there's so much talk going on at the moment, and we're all starved for information, and I guess there's a tendency for the media, just if there's a smell of something, they want to get it out there as a story. How much notice do you take of things that are going around, for instance, relocation talk and the like, as a, I guess, an independent observer at the moment?
Yeah, you're probably right. There's a lot of speculation, and that's the real challenge. If you buy into planning for every bit of speculation that's out there, then you're going to waste a fair bit of time. You've got to be aware of the possibilities that might come up, but until they're in concrete, we've obviously got staff that are across it a little bit more than me. My priority right now is the welfare of our players and the staff, and more so from a mental point of view. Physically, pretty comfortable. Our boys, they're highly driven, they'll be motivated, but more from a mental point of view, being isolated. When you're challenged, the best thing about a footy club is you come together, and right now we can't do that. So that's a real challenge for us at the moment.
Teague, what's the minimum number of days you think you need to get your team back in order to play AFL football?
Yeah, again, from a football point of view, I don't think we'll need long around strategy and structure. The players know it. They're ready to go. It's just going to be from a conditioning point of view. And as you talked about before, Andrew Russell, I'd be guided very much by him, but depends on how long they're out and away from the club. As much as you can train, it's very hard to replicate that intensity, particularly the change of direction. So depends on how long. If they're out for the 4 weeks as planned at this stage, I think we only need sort of three to four weeks or 3 weeks to get them back up and going. But the longer it is, the probably more time you'll need.
We spoke to Sam Mitchell before, how Hawthorn are trying to engage their players from a non-physical sense. What are Carlton doing to try and engage their players at this time?
Yeah, there's been a few different ones. We've got a meeting 10 o'clock every morning where the players can choose to join in and have a coffee and have a chat. And I will be honest, the first one was a little bit awkward. It's sort of a bit weird. There's about 25 of us there, and it was who's talking. Everyone would go to talk, and then no one would talk. So Samo Petreski-Seaton kept us all laughing, and the boys had more fun changing their backdrops. We had quite a few in San Francisco just changing their backdrops. But from a football point of view, just started to sit down with players, and watched, reviewed the first game and sat there today with Sam Walsh and watched his game, went back through. We only got to a quarter time and just went through some stuff, asked some questions to keep them to have a bit more of a football purpose. And that's the real challenge, is making sure they all have a purpose right now with what they're doing. And obviously being at home is different to normal. So we've got to try and create that purpose to give them something to really aim for.
That's interesting when you're doing reviews and the like. You are very forward in coming out and saying, we're not here to be competitive, we're here to win games of football. Even though you did make a significant comeback against the Tigers, it's one thing to say that, it's another to do it. It's not easy to get out of that mentality of trying hard but not quite getting there, isn't it?
It is, but I think if you take out the first quarter, that was our challenge. We didn't turn up to start the game. After quarter time, I thought our boys applied themselves really well. Second quarter, 4-1 to 1-4. Same amount of scoring shots, but they kicked their goals. We didn't make the most of our opportunities. So I believe in our group, and that's why I think we've got a lot of talent, and I think we're working really hard. And if we keep doing that, I think the scores and the results will go in our favour. But we need to continue to control what we control and train hard and play hard. And right now, we've got to do it for four quarters because against a good opposition, if you don't do it for four quarters, you won't get the result.
One player that would be unhappy the season didn't keep rolling on was Jack Martin. How did you see his first game for the Carlton Football Club?
Yeah, I thought he was outstanding, but it didn't surprise us. If you'd seen the way he trained, and I think we all knew he was a good tackler, but we just didn't realise the intensity that he tackles at. And his ferocity in that is something that our boys learned pretty quickly from being on the other end of it. And it lifted our pressure and our intent at training. And I thought to finish his work, he was one when we were missing some opportunities. I think he kicked 4.25 from four shots and set one other up. So he made the most of his opportunities. He was really excited to play at the MCG in front of a big crowd, but it didn't seem to bother him. He still got his job done, even though there was no one there.
Tiggy, are you a fan of the shortened quarters? If you were given the responsibility of saying this is how long quarters of football are going to go for, what would you pick? What would you set it at?
Oh, look, I'm probably a traditionalist in that sense. I would leave it, but having said that, if our game's about, it's entertainment and it's about the crowds, and if people are switching off or if they feel it's going for too long, when you're involved, it seems to go really quick, or if you're just in front, it seems to go forever. But it's probably more up to the fans, and if they like the shorter quarters and they're more engaged and people, I think for night games and when you've got kids, it's probably more appealing. So I like the idea of the crowds turning up and the fans watching. And right now, they're the ones we're feeling for. Obviously, everyone's at home, but our fans and our supporters have been outstanding for us. They don't get that opportunity to come and cheer for the players. So we feel for them right now.
Tiggy, before we let you go, I'm going to ask Jason and Jordan in a couple of minutes' time about who their best players of the century are from 2000 onwards. I'm not going to ask you for your top five because it's a question without notice, but who are the best two players this century in your mind as a player watching and an assistant coach and now a coach coaching against some of these guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll be honest, I'm a Pendlebury fan. I just love the way he keeps doing it and he seems to be getting better and better. Probably Joel Selwood's the other one in terms of the way he goes about it, puts his head over the ball. But as you mentioned, there's a large list there that you could choose from, but there's probably just a couple, but you could add a heap of players to that.
Thanks, Tiggy. We appreciate you having a chat and we'll see your work later on the year for the Blues and good luck with all the parenting duties at home.
No, thank you. And to all those out there, keep staying at home and look after your family and friends. And we'll be back at some stage and we look forward to entertaining for you guys again.